25 minutes dinner. 25 minutes dinner, which is very fast, very slow.
For this first of three evenings, and I will do so in Dutch. Goedenavond, welkom op deze eerste avond van Talk of the Town, waarbij drie directeuren tevens programmeurs van drie min of meer bekende internationale kunstcentra komen vertellen over hun activiteiten. Achtereenvolgens Jérôme Sans, directeur, samen met Nicolas Bourriaud van het Palais de Tokyo in Parijs. Volgende week dinsdag 19 november Lynn Cook, curator van de Dia Arts Foundation in New York. En dinsdag 26 november komt Charles Ash, directeur van het Roseum in Malmö. Een stad in Zweden die sinds de brug er ligt, nog maar 20 minuten van Kopenhagen ligt. Kopenhagen ligt dus de talk of what town, zou je kunnen afvragen. Maar in ieder geval heeft hij daar, ook hij daar, veel veranderd in de situatie. Waarom doen we dit? Om de noodzakelijke feitelijke informatie te verschaffen over concepten en formules die de laatste tijd mede door de discussie rond het Stedelijk Museum in debatten en krantenkolommen verschijnen. Omdat wij vaak een makkelijk en direct contact hebben met onze collega's en ook zelf benieuwd zijn naar hun ervaringen, willen wij onszelf en u graag laten inspireren. Sommige van deze instellingen zijn van recente datum, andere functioneren al langer, maar steeds zijn zij spraakmakend. De formule van de avonden is als volgt. Eerst presenteert de persoon in kwestie zijn of haar instelling. Daarna komen er steeds twee kenners vanuit verschillende achtergronden aan het woord en stellen elk 10 minuten lang vragen aan de spreker. Een beetje een televisieachtig formaat zonder samenvattingen, want daar schatten wij u te hoog voor in. De vraagstellers van vanavond, maar hopelijk hoort u er zelf ook toe, zijn achtereenvolgens Nina Volkersma, redacteur van Metropolis M, oud-student van ons curatorial program en iemand die heel binnenkort haar eigen ruimte begint in Amsterdam. En de tweede ondervrager is Maria Lavajova, directeur van BAK, het voormalig kunstcentrum De Begane Grond, die onlangs zelf een vergelijkbare serie lezingen heeft georganiseerd in Utrecht. Vanavond dus de eerste presentatie van het Palais de Tokyo in Parijs, dat open is sinds januari dit jaar en in haar korte geschiedenis een enorme hoop stof heeft doen opwaaien. Zoals u velen van u al weten, bevindt het zich tegenover het Musée d'Art Moderne de la Ville de Paris aan de Avenue du Président Wilson in Parijs, op een plek waar zich vroeger een Musée du Cinéma bevond, waar niemand zich meer heel veel van herinnert. Dit nieuwe instituut, dat tot 12 uur 's nachts open is, beschreef Lucetta Borg laatst in een special in Vrij Nederland met de sleutelwoorden flexibiliteit, vrijheid en ontmuring. Een Duitse kunstkrant, Hij ligt daar, vroeg zich af of het instituut een researchplek, een Forschungsstätte is of meer een eventpalast. En Jérôme Sans zei zelf in Metropolis M, het is een manifest dat de komende 3 jaren zal worden uitgewerkt. Het is meer dan een expositie, het is de hele plek waar kunstenaars hun gang kunnen gaan, zowel buiten als binnen bij ons op kantoor. Ik wou het woord nu geven aan Jérôme Sans, maar hij heeft even net de lastige vraag gesteld of ik hem de eerste vraag wil stellen. En dat is dan automatic, the first question is, why did you come to Amsterdam?
That's a very good question. Very simple to answer, because you invited me, Saskia, to come here and knowing you for almost 2 decades, I couldn't resist to the charm of your invitation. It was my youth, it was my roots, it was where I was learning everything on the road 20 years ago when I was still independent, starting as a young critic like most of you here at the course here. There were no courses at that time, I'm sorry to play an old man, but there were nothing besides the real experiences. And I am, like most of my homologues, most of people I respect, I learned everything from the artist, like Harald Zeman keeps saying. And I learned everything in traveling and going to studios of artists without knowing them, just ringing to their bells and saying, I like your work and I would love to stay in a corner to understand the way you work, to understand who you are, to understand what contemporary art is about. It's the way I met Mario Merz, it's the way I met Joseph Kosuth, Daniel Buren, and many other international artists since 20 years ago. But I will not speak about myself, it would be a bit quite boring for you and for me especially, but more about the experience I'm building in Paris, where I mostly never did any projects in the last 20 years, once every 5 years, and mostly really almost invisible things, very underground, because I am in a country where if you want to have a position in this world, you have to be part of a corporation, and I and Nicolas were never part of this corporation. We never had any diploma, we never belonged to any schools. We are just pirates and just do what we want and say clearly what we want to say. So there were never any possibilities for any of us. And this is the first time in our history, which is an enormous revolution. Maybe for you it doesn't mean anything. For us it was an enormous revolution that at the end people like us could end up to be directors of a very important decision in Paris. And especially, normally when you inherit of an institution, what do you get? You get a staff, which is already there. You get a place, which is already existing. You get a budget, which is already existing too. And you have to fight with the architecture, with the staff, and mostly with all your story. We had the chance, for once, for very few people in our world, to build up a place with all our desires, all our concepts, all the things we are keeping listening for the last 20 years by most of directors of contemporary art centers or museums complaining about their places. We were tired to hear these complaints. We were tired to hear people becoming older than us. And we were thinking it would be time to jump on stage and to make something ourselves and to see if institutions was locked, as everybody seems to be, internationally wise. We were surprised, for example, that we are at a time where supposedly we are all having a precise position, but we don't smell this position in most of the institutions where we see internationally wise. We always see the same way of working, same way of communicating, same way of showing, same way of discussing, same way of introducing art to the audience. So we wanted to really try something and see if all the logic used by most of 99.99% of institutions used were still relevant. So the first thing we did, and we find it very surprising, that from Asia to Latin America, from United States to Europe, all the institutions are open at working hours, especially when mostly all of them are complaining of the lack of audience, complaining of or trying to fight to open the doors to new communities, new people. But how can you have more audience when we are open at working hours? Myself, I'm the worst visitors of exhibition in Paris because most of the institutions I should go or galleries are open when I'm working. When I leave my office around 9 o'clock at night every day, everything is closed. So I missed almost everything which is going on in Paris. So we find it very surprising that we are the only territory in culture which is not functioning like the others. Imagine cinemas, theaters, operas open just from 10 in the morning to 6 o'clock. It would be the ruin of the Hollywood industry. It would be the ruin of the record companies industry. To be the ruins of the production house for operas. Why art should be always outside of everything? Why should be that pretentious to think that because of we are the best, people would run to us from 10 to 6 a day? It's impossible. So we decided to make a very simple but very radical gesture for us to join the leisure time, to help our friends, to help people who are working, and we should be our friends, our neighbors, to watch exhibition, to accompany us in our history. And at the start, everybody thought in Paris we were very pretentious, which we are. But at the end, the result is amazing. We are open for less than 8 months, and we joined already more than 200,000 visitors. We have every day at this moment more than 600 people. On weekend, as I just said to you on the left, we have 1,800 people on Saturday and Sunday. So for us, even though in Paris people criticize us a lot, we are very proud that at the end we did a place for contemporary art which is really inhabited. We didn't do something which is a ghost house with just always the same crowd, the same people, very insane, but really a place where people can just hang out, a live place, a place to live, a place which is not just a box with exhibition, but a house, a place where people feel comfortable and don't want to leave after watching or seeing the exhibition or listening to a talk or whatever. We understood that people, when they come to our place, they stay at least between 1 hour to 3 hours. So it's quite a lot, and they come a lot back and back. So we from the start, we were fighting against this idea of just an exhibition place. We are not interested to add another one in Paris, but make a gesture where all of a sudden it will be more like a human scale. Even if we are very big, we wanted to have this kind of human nature inside, a human attitude, and not hiding ourselves, you know, in the backstage, which where mostly in big institutions you never meet the directors, you never meet the curators. We are mostly all the time in the rooms, always ready to meet people if there is a crisis or if there is anything. We're always on stage, on the deck, with everyone. And we decided not to have any guards. In Paris, in most of places for art, you have guards, which are people who are just telling you, like police people, don't touch, don't go on, please leave the room. So just very interesting things. We decided to have just young people in the rooms, young historians, young critics, young artists, to be mediators, to be people who are, when there is any questions from the desk at the entrance to the rooms, there is always people to talk to you, always person to engage dialogue. We wanted to build up not a box for exhibition again, but a platform for an open dialogue, a dialogue with no end, a dialogue with no answer, a place where all the questions will be raised with no problem, with no taboo, with no limit. That's the reason why we decided not to make again another place where we just talk about visual arts, but bringing back the social, bringing back the political part of it. We found it very suspicious that for the last 20 years art has divorced somehow within the institution with the political dialogue. Like we had, if you do remember, in last April, for example, a very big crisis in my country with a man called Le Pen coming to the election and give us a very big frisson in the back. We decided the day where the percentage were so high that we do a big meeting, an open one, a political one, in our place. And we sent an email to everyone, and on a Friday night, and on Monday we did the meeting, and we had 2,000 people coming to the house to dialogue with us. Not just people from the art world, but politicians came from the mayor, from the mayor, from the ministry, from many other sources came and talked with us directly with the crowd. And it was very positive to see that at the end we are becoming again an agora and not just an entertained place for formal or visual things, which we find very limited and not enough for the art. So we want to be back on the track of resistance, back on the track of dialogue, back on the track with real positions. Because for us, having a place starts, or like being a curator, is not just making an exhibition. This is just an exercise. But first, having a position and having a clear one, and really go on, not just for yourself, not to add any egotistic line on your resume, but to really build up a story with the artist, a story with the art, a story with the cultural debates. We found very weak the debates nowadays in the art, very insane, very uninteresting, very boring, just name-dropping, just about careers and about a market, very boring, no more attitude. So we are obsessed with this attitude of bringing back the voice of the artist, bringing back the social and the political debate at the front stage and not hidden behind the bookshelves. So we decided from the start to make a platform of the dialogue, again, an open dialogue. That's why we were not alone. I was not myself being a director. I stopped working alone 7 years ago, deciding I was very tired of myself, tired of working on the loop, but I wanted to put myself in a permanent danger, like in a couple, in an everyday situation of a couple where you have to deal with the everyday, deal with the danger of your limit, danger of being bored all the time. So you have to share and to give, because for me, art is not about taking, but more or less about sharing. So we decided to build up a place not alone, but with two persona. Two different persons we never worked before together. Nicolas and myself never were friends before. We are never working in any project together. But we decided at the point, not in a very, not in a, we are not, I won't find the English word, but we decided that we were tired of waiting in our country, tired of waiting the other generation to move on, tired to always seeing the same musical chair game. So we decided to start ourselves. And when we decided to start this project, nothing was given to us by the Ministry of Culture. We started to find look for a place, look for the budget. And when the ministry heard about our project, they asked us if we wanted to be part of this competition. And we said yes, if they were accepting our couple somehow project, our two heads projects. And not to be sure that because of our two forces we would kill the others, but because we found it as a metaphor of handing a position in France, which is, you don't know, maybe Paris or France, but it's a very critical background. So you exist for 1 minute and you're killed the minute afterwards when you leave the room. So we wanted to make a place where at the end we would have two different persons in front of each other developing something together and inviting other people to join the platform to enlarge the debates. So for us it was really like a statement to be two persons, especially Nicolas and myself, two different independent working for many years in developing different projects, and mostly abroad and not in our country. So we wanted to develop this form, this duo form, which is very difficult, of course, like a couple again, like living every day is not easy. We have sometimes crisis, it's normal. We have sometimes happiness, sometimes we have disaster, it's normal. It's part of the whole thing, but we wanted to leave the whole project together from state zero, from where we had just a white page, to the end. So we have 3 years of programming together, and we decided to work somehow not in a pyramid way with our staff, but in a very very dialogue situation. So even our administrator is part of all the discussion we have about the program, about the philosophy, about the legitimacy of inviting anyone or anything. So all our staff is a permanent discussion situation. So we wanted to make it not a utopian situation, because it works. It makes 8 months we are existing and we open the place. But it works in a very interesting way that everyone has a part, everyone can be curator. We are tired to see this virus of curators as well internationally wise. So we want to show that anyone can be a curator nowadays. There is no limit beside having a position. So even our technical director is curating shows in our place since the beginning. So there is no limit. I'm not signing everything. I'm not interested to sign everything. I don't care about this. I don't need this anymore. We are sometimes, Nicolas or myself, signing things when we have really something to say, when we have precise reactions to situations, so we are signing something. But otherwise, we share with the others, and we prefer that the others do it, even though we are behind every project and we follow everything. So what we wanted to do from the start is really make a place where at the end we will not hear anymore, you know, always same references to open the windows to the outside, if you remember all this quotation for the last 20 years, everybody complaining and crying about this and looking outside and no more just inside the art world, leaving the walls and going to the streets. So we decided to make it at the end. We don't know if it's a success or a failure. We don't care. Our idea was to make a place of an experience, a permanent experience from the first day to the end. And we'll go to the end, whatever happens. But for us, this is the interest to be in the art and not just repeat what other people has done or what we think is the best alone, but really to each time reactivate the idea of an experiment. We want to be a permanent laboratory of experiences and not just a concept of it. And we thought at the start maybe it would be very difficult for the artist or for the audience to understand or to play with it. And we found this is exactly the opposite. For example, you don't know the place, but the place, maybe for some of you, have not been in Paris. So this is the outside, very austere. As you may know, this is a structure from the 30s. The site was built for the Universal Exhibition. This is the outside at night. The neighborhood was a very boring one before we came. The street, you never saw anyone walking down the street anymore. No lights in the street, no life, nothing. So we decided to use the windows as a light box to reactivate the street itself, the neighborhood. And now, of course, you have all these people, these pictures by Bert Strolley, who are inhabiting the building. So from the outside, it's a light box, and from the inside, during the day, they look at you. Inside is like this, very rough. When we came, the building was before us. The last big project by Jack Lang was to make a museum of cinema inside the house. So they destroyed all the fake ceiling, all the fake walls, everything. They spent more than 10 million of euros to destroy the house. But when they destroyed everything, they discovered it was a building made for light. So making a cinema on 4 different floors and rebuilding walls was a complete paradox. So this construction stopped, and it became a ghost house for many years. Many years was not used. There were just pigeons in the house, and 20,000 square meters not used in front of the Museum of Modern Art. And in 1998, the Ministry of Culture, Catherine Trottmann, decided to use it as a temporary places for contemporary art, and to make a competition inside it. And so we inaugurated the place and didn't change the structure because we didn't have the budget, but we decided to use it the way it was and to start it directly from the first day as if we were inheriting a place from a family, like a house in the countryside, but we don't have the money to restore it or to fix it. But we decided to live in it anyhow and to make the constructions very slowly in a very natural way and not to open it in a fixed way and not to give all the receipt in the first minute. We decided to make it in a natural rhythm. So this is, you are facing the restaurant, for example, where it's just host table. The rooms were not divided into different boxes. We first decided to show art, no more in small ghettos where everybody would be on their own, living on their island, but to put every artist in a dialogue with the others, to oblige everyone to join in the house, when they join in the house, to be in this dialogue situation. And we were surprised to see the reaction of most of the artists. We were first thinking maybe they will reject this thing, thinking the best is always to have the white cube system and to have to live on their own, on their own planet. But most of them, 99%, worked and played this idea with us and decided it would be very interesting to check, to see what could be done there. And even though at this moment I had an interesting question earlier, someone in the house here asked me, why do we have now older people? Because we are supposed to be a prospective place. Our goal is to show what's going on in a global perspective. But we were keeping saying from the start, we will never be a place of a generation. It doesn't mean anything. We are not coming from nowhere. We will not go in a known place. We are coming, we have roots, we have history, and we will be a place for experiment again. So whoever comes to the house, they have to play the game of experimentation. So we have right now, for example, Louise Bourgeois, a very young artist of 92 years old, who came to us. We didn't go to her. She came to us directly and asked if she could do something very experimental. And we asked what was it. And she wanted to make a sound installation and a video installation. So we were very excited to make with her a try, a test, something she would be never invited in any big institution where she would be invited. So she did a very beautiful sound installation where she's singing herself lullabies from her youth, which is playing like a ping pong from different walls. And the other one is she's welcoming people by the entrance of the rooms, exhibition rooms, and she's asking questions about life, about love, about art, about death. So we found it very challenging, very interesting, and we are keeping combining artists of different generations, artists from different cultures, artists from different worlds, artists from different vocabularies in a permanent open dialogue inside the house. We found it very stupid to ghettoize young artists, to ghettoize old artists or mid-career artists or whatever. Art has no age, especially experimentation things. It's too early for questions. I'm sorry, you have to wait for a few minutes. So the idea of the place is really this idea of permanent experimentation with artists. So the first steps of the house was like this. We kept everything as it was because two-thirds of the budget of we got from the ministry to fix the house went to the structure itself, the floors, the ceilings, the lighting, the heating, and things like this. People thought at the start we were romantic, or we were playing with the places, or even we were destroying the place. They completely misunderstood what we did. By the entrance, we decided to put the only wall, in fact, we have, is this wall. We give each time to an artist for quite a long period, 6 months, as a generic of our program. And the first one was done by a very interesting artist, Navin Ravanchakul, where he was talking about the art world crash, internationally wise, of the institution. And of course, us on the side, very proud. We are coming into the future. This is a slide of it's a new bar we have now, which is kind of a very Taiwanese bar, which is working like the rest from noon to midnight every day. But just the floor, we have very small table. This is what we called Le Salon. It was initiated by Meshach Gaba. It's a place we are tired of the benches of the museum and tired of these fake convivial places in institutions. So we decided to ask for a long period as well, 6 months to artists, to conceive a salon. So the first one was Meshach Gaba, who made this fantastic project where you could play piano, you could play on a game invented on a computer, you could do a chess game, he did as well, you could have a drink, you could listen to music, African music and things like this. So it was, for the last 6 months, it was very popular. This is another line we have, which is called Tokyo Games. It's games made by artists, it can be video games, it can be whatever. But each month we invite an artist with a project of a game, and we show it in the Palais Tokyo. It was one of the most famous pieces at the start, made by this Japanese artist Junya Yamaide. He did the coloriage. It's a white paper for children where you have to fill with color. I saw the project in Tokyo, which was very, very nicely, very gently filled with color in a very polite way. In Paris, people were really like wild, and of course, never follow the drawing. Had so many layers of color that at the end you couldn't see anything from the original drawing. And the last thing they were doing, they were using their keys to make drawings inside the enormous layers of colors to put it. And we had to hide on the side all the crayons, because people were really like starting to draw all over the walls, thinking we were the more free place in the world, so they could be all artists and become themselves a drawer. This is another Thai artist, Surazi Kuzelwong, and we did this very big project with him. He makes market each time. It's another way for us to talk about this idea of generosity and to be simple. He's making this, he's kind of making a joke on the art market where always things are, the prices are growing. Yeah, every object were for €1. We had thousands of objects, thousands for the opening, and people, he started to make a performance, making music and speaking loud, like in a market, in a street market. And people, of course, bought the objects, and after an hour, you got two objects for the price of one, then three for the price of one. It became a real craziness, and now these objects are all over Paris for €1. So this is a salon for another view. What about the girl? Ah, yes, this is a it looks like umbrellas. In fact, it's umbrellas for sounds, because it was, we decided to make a place where you could chill out and listen to music specially made for us by electronic musicians or by artists. It's called Tokyo Lab, Audio Lab, and it was designed by two French designers, Les Frères Bourrelec. And so afterwards there were some chairs, and of course people could stay for between 5 minutes to an hour to just hear to this shadow, this rain of music above your head. This is a performance by Paola Pivi. A piece by Kea San, which was like transforming the house into like a street of Johannesburg. This is Mélie Coagnon, first exhibition did with us. This is another place where we found it very, very important for us to have. By the entrance, we offer a booth, kind of a booth or a place, a room, to either a young publishing house, a collective of artists. We have right now a record label called FCOM for a month, where they can do whatever they want. They have 1 month of program to propose, where everybody every day has to be reactivated with something. And yeah, so it's given to anyone who have an interesting project for us. So it's a free zone of expression. This is the room you saw earlier transformed since we had Wolfgang Tillmans. People thought we would never had any white walls. We, as I said earlier, we started from the day zero to build the house and to clean the house somehow. It doesn't mean that in 3 years we will be completely white. Of course not. We are resisting to this obsession. But the room now is becoming a very beautiful place by Tobias Reberger right now, where the show exists just after 5 o'clock when the sun is going down. Every day, of course, it changes, and the audience can't come before it is dark outside. And it's a show called Knife Shift, which is about this. It's a kind of a project of experience of time in the house. I go very fast because I'm not very interested to see many shows with slides. It's a show by a young Japanese artist living in Berlin, Hanayo. It's her first institution show. We are very much interested in showing people like this. We are on the merge of visual arts and other fields. She's a musician and a photographer. We had recently, you will see, Ed Templeton. It's a very famous skateboarder from Los Angeles, who is as well an artist. And we want to show these artists who are playing with different worlds. This is a piece by Boris Achour. It's a video tech. This is Ed Templeton, this skateboarder. We had this big demo in the house where he invited 10 other friends from Los Angeles to make a demo in a big room. And we had 4,000 teenagers came just for this because they are very famous in their world. And they made a fantastic event one day of skateboarding in the house. You, surrounding the museum, there is a lot of skateboarders, but all the neighborhood tried to reject them for 10 years. And we wanted to make a gesture to show them we are not against, but we are more or less with them. So this is some example. It's kind of a diary of his everyday, of his traveling internationally wise. His FCOM, this is it's one of the major label record company in Paris, FCOM, initiated by Laurent Garnier, very famous DJ. And they invented with us and for us this FCOM truc, which is kind of DALI boxes where you can open everything and something is going on. There is a video, there is music, there is a different thing, and you can play with it. And we had for the months many events with many DJs and musicians we made and didn't do any set. But they made special things they never did before. For example, Laurent Garnier came and made a special thing for us. He played like at home, played his favorite records without playing electronic, but other things. And all the others came and made like live things with no electro things. So it was like unplugged stuff. So just experimental things. We are not playing the game of being a club because we hate this idea of institutions playing the game of being a bar or being a club or being a restaurant without having the rules or without having the vocabulary or the thing. We always keep saying in Paris we are before and the after is made outside in other places. This is a show of a very young French artist called Laurent Morisseau, where this was the only show where we blocked the room with the wall because his work doesn't exist if the light come in. Because he's working with photographic paper and collaborate with fashion designers each time to make some accessories or some clothing. And he's showing it like this, like in this lab situation. So it was the only reason we wanted to build up a wall and to close the room. This is Maria Marshall, last video, which is shown with an open wall to the other show, so you can see from Louise Bourgeois, from other shows, her video. And the last slide for me, which is kind of a slogan of the place, is this one, this piece from Monica Bombicini, Add Elegance to Your Poverty. Or something else I want to add is, if we want to keep the place under construction, this is the obsession of not finalizing the place, but always keeping the place like a scaffolding, always on scaffolding. This is very important for us. So something very important for us was to change somehow the economy of an art institution in Paris, because most of the other places in France are state money, city or region. And we found it very not sane nowadays to do this, so we decided to try to have an economy which is mixed, half sponsors, half partners, and half the state. And everybody thought we would be a disaster, and for the first year we succeeded to find the economy for this. We don't know for the future, but we found it for the first year, and we are fighting for this to try to change this strange, insane economy always raised by or run by political things. And we want to keep our freedom concerning the budget as well. And we were fighting to have this balance to be sure that we will keep our freedom to the end. Well, are you still alive? Can we have some light? Because I'm going to sleep in a second if I'm just talk alone in the dark. What can I tell you? What else? Because I know so much the place. The problem is I normally never do this kind of speech alone. I prefer dialogue. I prefer confrontation. So now my friend Nina will join me to talk and ask precise and very concrete questions.
I'm going to ask you very personal questions. You said that it would be boring to talk about you personally, yes. But that's what I would like to do. Instead of focusing just on the Palais de Tokyo. And we only have 10 minutes, but you can talk very fast, so that's okay. You started in the 80s, 1982. Could you tell us something about the art scene in France in the 80s?
It was a disaster. I don't know why the sound changes, but when I started, nothing was possible for my generation. There were no room for any magazines, there were no room for any places. So if you wanted to do something, you had to invent completely your reality. So you couldn't complain because there were nothing else, nothing possible. So,
but what triggered your interest in art? What triggered your interest in art? What was,
I come from a
especially one art or artist.
Yeah, of course, I remember everything. It was yesterday. Yes, I come from a musical background. In fact, I was a teenager in a classical band on one hand, and on a rock band in the other hand. And in both sides, it was impossible. With rock, I look too much as a wealthy boy and then a classical man because I was like a triste working with classical people in a very famous classical band. And with the classical people, they thought I was a jerk, total joke, because I was playing rock music, which wasn't possible. So I had my ass in between two chairs. And I understood at that point I would never be an artist because I saw around myself so many artists when I was 13, 14, 15, where people were like my age now, 50 or 60 years old, very sad on the side, you know, playing on one concert hall in London or in Paris or in Europe somewhere with me. And they were playing three notes. They were thinking they were heroes. It was so sad. And I was making my money when I was a bit older in movie as well. I was an extra in different films, feature films in Paris, in France, and working with many filmmakers to make.
As a director?
No, extra. It's extra. Like the guys walking on behind, the guy serving you a drink, the man who never speak, the person who never speaks, the shadows in films. So I was as well, you know, meeting so many poor people, you know, thinking when they are like 3 seconds on the camera in the film, they were like heroes. I was tired of this, and my best friends at that time, we were spending all our nights in reading art books. We were reading Giotto, Masaccio, Rembrandt, until 5 o'clock in the morning, smoking joints. When our friends were like laying down like peanuts, we were talking and dialoguing. Yeah, absolutely, about modernity and things like this. And at the age of 18, my friends went to visual art school, and I decided not to do this, and I came to the history university. And I left after 2 years, bored again, as usual with me, and I left in a very mythical way. I was reading Art Forum at that time, an article on Arte Povera. It was a huge amphitheater. And everybody was laughing, which was never happening in the courses. And my teacher was in my back. And she asked me, if you find it more interesting, could you jump on stage and explain to your friend why and what are you reading? I said, with pleasure. I came on stage and I explained to my friend why I was reading Art Forum and not listening to these old ladies talking for 2 years about Van Gogh, sleeping in his room and everything, what he had in front of his windows and everything, and why Arte Povera was that important. I talked for 30 minutes, all my friends clapped me, I left the room thanking my teacher, saying to her, "Thank you very much, you teach me everything. I leave this university, it's really the end. This is boring, we waste our time here. I go on my way."
Sounds a bit arrogant, but you have heard this.
I was a wild boy, very arrogant, like a young dog, a bit crazy, and this is the way it started.
Yeah. In this interview in Metropolis M, you stated that the practice of a curator is similar to the practice of a DJ, and I know that you are a DJ as well. I heard you perform in Gwangju, South Korea. Tell us something about this, your experience of being a DJ and what this special kick is.
For me, it's exactly the same experience. It's exactly like being in front of you here. Once you're a curator, once you're a DJ, you end up to be behind someone in a lineup. Once you're a DJ and you come